Can you just give me an overview of what House Bill 316 is and how you both got involved?
Sure. House Bill 316, the real purpose of it is to finally bring a formal definition, a bullying definition, to Kentucky. We're one of only two states that doesn't have a formal definition. And it's also to insert the word bullying into the bullying bill. We have a bullying bill that doesn't actually use the word bullying anywhere in it. So really those are the two goals.
Can you tell me a little bit about the process of working with lawmakers in crafting this legislation?
Well, on the task force, we had a committee where it talked about making a definition, and it was just really cool to hear what they had to say and what we had to say, and being able to kind of like take our ideas and put it together, and it very much mirrors the federal definition as well.
The governor appointed a youth bullying prevention task force. The smart thing that he did, now that I see, is he included a lot of legislators. So they were part of that year-long study. And so you had that support up front when we went to needing a bill. So this legislative session, the two chairs are no longer here, but we had legislators that believed passionately that a definition was necessary. So it wasn't probably routine, but we already had advocates based on the knowledge that they had.
You're talking about the governor's bully prevention task force that you're both a part of. So the genesis of this sort of came from that task force?
That is correct.
And is the task force continuing with the change in governorship? Is Governor Bevin still doing this task force?
The task force actually completed our work.
Okay.
There are actions that need to take place, and Morgan and I have been trying to schedule a meeting with the governor to see his position and hope that he will support further action. But the budget is what it is, and so we wanted this one recommendation that doesn't require any resources.
There's also a Senate bill, too. Is it the same process for the Senate bill?
Yeah, it's great. So many times you might seek those that don't support a bill, but actually we have senators and representatives that have both submitted a bill. It's exactly the same. It's, as they said, kind of a race to the finish because they're so excited about it. Both houses would like to see that come to fruition. And we had senators and we had House of Representatives on there. So the ones that were on the task force are co-sponsoring both bills. And then luckily our legislators from the area are also co-sponsoring. So Danny Carroll and Gerald Watkins are part of the co-sponsorship. But every legislator that was on that bully prevention task force is a co-sponsor of one of those two bills.
What is the national landscape for bills like this? Are there similar efforts around the country?
I think there have been a lot of efforts, some successful, some not. And I think part of that has been that, as we talk about, fear is so tightly wrapped around the word of bullying that often people don't want to talk about it. They don't want you to talk about it. They want it to be better, but they just don't want to be a part of that conversation. I think that's changed in the last 4 years, nearly 5 years since we've been part of it, and we've talked about those statistics, and Morgan might share a few of them, but they're pretty startling. And I think people in the early days when we first started talking about this issue thought that by our saying Morgan was being bullied, that we were making a school look like it was unsafe. And now we know, and I think everyone else knows, that bullying happens in every school.
160,000 kids will not attend school every day because they're afraid, and every 7 seconds a teen is bullied.
13 million kids will be bullied this year. I mean, the statistics are startling, and Morgan, when we started the work, Kentucky led the nation in teen suicide attempts. Kids as young as 7 are self-harming. The statistics speak for themselves. One out of every 10 high school dropouts in Kentucky cite bullying as the reason they drop out of high school in Kentucky. And just from the statistics in Kentucky, a child is bullied every 4 minutes of every school day. But what we do know is a lot of kids don't report it. Just like Morgan, they suffer in silence. They don't tell because they're afraid. So I often think the numbers are higher than what is reported.
What are schools doing now to address the issue, and how has it changed since you both got started?
I think a lot is happening. I think there has been a commitment to do better and be better and to raise awareness and to get kids to report, whether it's tip lines, whether it's programs in the schools. But I think what we found is that adults can be part of the solution, but it's really young people that need to rise up, to speak up, to stand up, and whether they're being bullied or whether they see someone else being bullied, they can no longer be the silent, because they become bystanders. They become part of the problem. And so we really think the change comes with young people.
I think there's probably two camps of young people suffering from bullying. One is they're going to come home and say, "Mom or Dad, I was bullied in school today." And then there's going to be another group of students who just won't say anything at all because they're embarrassed or ashamed, or they keep quiet about it. And as a parent, if you have a student or a child who's more apt to keep quiet about it, what are some of the warning signs? What can you look for, and how can you help?
Well, they talk about change in behavior, and that one's pretty difficult to see. And I will say, with our own experience, I took Morgan in every day, and I picked her up, and I was the room mother, so I was there. So I didn't see it for some period of time. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's as easy to see as people might think. So I think that's why that conversation is so important, to talk about bullying, and that you have to speak up, and that we can make it better. Because Morgan always said she didn't tell because she thought it would get worse. Mm-hmm. And we always tell kids, but it won't get better if you don't say something. And and parents often give bad advice too, like, well, ignore them and it'll go away. And we've learned that's an adult response. That's not the way the game's played with kids. They will keep on until they get a reaction from you. Mm-hmm. So ignoring it does not make it go away.
I'm a parent. How can I bring this up to my child?
Well, I think you need to, you know, talk about that it happens everywhere, so that they don't have that shame. And I think that shame has really gone away. I think it's more about kids feeling, Morgan would say, really kind of alone in it. And at the time she was bullied, really nobody was talking about it in school either. So they would tell them to stay away from one another. And so I think kids often feel like they can't talk about it because they're going to get that other kid in trouble. You know, I think you just have to have a frank conversation. You know, has anybody been mean to you? And talk about the difference between mean and bullying, and how someone should help you regardless. So I think we have tried to say it's important to have a definition, but it's more important that regardless what happens to a child, if they ask for help, an adult should help them. You know, we often, with speakers we brought in, they've talked about the difference between tattling and telling. And if you tell to help someone or to help yourself, that's different. Tattling is really, when you talk about that age group, it's when you're trying to get someone in trouble.
Right.
And so I think when you talk with the youngest kids, that's kind of what it's like, is that's a good way to talk about the difference, and to talk about how all kids should be treated with respect and dignity, that you deserve to be treated kindly. And if you're not, let's talk about it.
Morgan, you've been involved in anti-bullying efforts for several years now. Can you describe what the experience has been like for you over the years? And do you still encounter bullying, or has it changed?
Well, whenever I first started, I just was never really exposed to violence, so I didn't really know how much it was happening. And when I started to be bullied and I started to get into my work, I noticed how many of my friends were being bullied and I didn't know about it. And I noticed that children just hide it so well, and it's just scary to know that. And over the years, I mean, there's been a little things where, like, you know, girls kind of leaving me out of things, but I think it's definitely changed. The schools are definitely doing a lot more than they were a couple years ago.
When this topic comes up with your peers, what are some of the things that they say?
Well, some of them, they've been through it before, so they're very supportive of it. And but others of them, they just don't know how it is. And I mean, bullying happens everywhere, and almost everyone's experienced it.
We thought as we progressed with this work that Morgan would become a target, that it would be unpopular to carry the banner for bullying, and that really hasn't been the case. She has had support not only from the school system and around the state, but from her peers. But unfortunately, what has come to occur is kids come to her very desperate, some that are saying they're going to commit suicide, some that are having panic attacks or cutting. And that's really been heavy for her and for me, really, as we think about continuing our work. How do we help those kids, but take, you know, not strip the joy from our 13-year-old daughter? And so that has been the unexpected thing that we didn't know would come forth. But I think it also shows the desperation from so many kids that feel like they don't have a voice, they're not being heard, and that no one's helping them.
Spending time in Frankfurt, Morgan, is this something that you're considering as a career as you think about the future?
Well, I wasn't really at first, but since I really started getting involved in it recently, the Senate has been something that I've really looked into. But I still have a couple years.
And the yeah. wonderful thing that has happened to her is the legislators have been a strong support for her. And what I think both of us realize is we think about senators or state representatives supporting their area. But we really see Kentucky legislators working for what's best for all Kentuckians. Hmm. And some of her biggest supporters have been outside our region, and they continue to lift her up, lift the voice up, and lift that story up, which is so important.
I think a lot of our listeners are familiar with the work both of you do. But Morgan, can you tell me some of the other things that you enjoy doing?
I like playing tennis, and I used to do a lot of theater. I play with my dog a lot.
And you do listen to a lot of vinyls.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of music.
I saw you eyeing the vinyl over there in the other room.
Yeah.
Do you find that more people are open now in talking about bullying and their experiences, or is there still a ways to go?
We've come a long way, but there's still room for improvement. And, you know, it's funny when we see things posted on social media, you either get great support or you get people that talk about how it's restricting freedom of speech or it's unduly giving harsh punishment to someone that has been a bully, and that really hasn't been our story. We've talked about our story was never about a bully or a school or a teacher. It really is about every one of us and what we put out in the world every day, and it's about adults setting good examples for children. As Morgan said, it's about children taking responsibility for how they treat others. Mm. Our hope is that there wouldn't even need to be a definition for bullying, but the fact is we need some roadmap, some guideline that every school can use and every parent and student can understand. And we talked about when Morgan was bullied, there wasn't even a definition in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. There wasn't in McCracken County schools, and mm-hmm. we suspect that was pretty normal. That was just 5 years ago. Often it's referred to the harassment definition, which is the legal definition, which is 211 words. And when Morgan testified before the legislature, she talked about a third grader can't understand that legal definition. Mm-hmm. And this definition also opens up, I think, what many schools use, that you don't have to be bullied so many times for someone to say you've been bullied. Mm-hmm. And it's unwanted behavior, which, again, this is closely aligned to the federal definition, so this isn't really out there. So it takes away to the kids that say, well, I was just joking. Hmm. Well, it wasn't joking to me. So if it's unwanted to me, then we need to stop that mm-hmm. behavior. Mm-hmm. So major progress. People aren't as afraid of it. The kindness walk that we did was a huge success. And I think, though, that there is some nationally, a lot of the conversation has turned from bullying to kindness. Mm-hmm. Kindness is a more positive term that people can rally around and support. And bullying still has some mystery and seems scary and people don't know how to attack it. And I think we've learned it's one day at a time, one child at a time, instead of, because we talked about when we served on the task force, we thought that it would be easy to solve. Mm-hmm. And we've learned that it's not. And there's a lot of mental health issues also that's wrapped around it that's challenging.
How do you see your efforts in the context of a national social narrative where issues of difference and diversity really seem to be at the forefront of political conversation today?
You're exactly right. And every human being should be respected and, as I said, treated with respect and dignity. And if this is an opportunity to further that cause and that conversation, then I think that's great, because we've learned that people feel left out and exclusion is certainly a part of bullying. And if that's an opportunity to raise that up and make a difference, then we're for that. But we've also learned it isn't what most people often thought. It's not the kids always that don't have the shoes that everyone else has. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's because you have something they don't have or you've achieved success. We've had kids talk about they do good things and they don't talk about it at school because they'll become a target. So there isn't really, you can't identify who might be a target or who might be a bully, because it's not that simple.
How do you respond to people, perhaps of an older generation, who might say bullying is just a part of growing up?
Well, as this generation has gone on, I mean, there's technology now. And back then, I mean, I guess if it made them a better person or something, good for them. But this generation, I mean, if someone's being bullied, it can happen 24/7. Mm. As soon as you get out of school, you go to church, they're there. As soon as you get out of church, you go home, and you're getting prank calls, you're getting texts telling, I mean, they're telling you to kill yourself. I mean, social media, it's just harder these days because it can happen all the time anywhere.
They say that bullying, it hasn't really risen, that it stayed pretty flat. I do think Morgan's right in terms of the social media impact, but I think in the early days, if you want to say, or the older generation, they just didn't talk about it a lot. And it's funny because I'll see kids from my own high school that said they were bullied and I had no idea. So I think to lift that veil of shame and have people talk about it makes a huge difference. But we do see all the time kids posting pictures with, we have one with a boy with a gun to his head. We have people saying they're going to kill themselves. And it's so sad when we see kids either supporting them doing that or so, you know, you could have 200 likes on that. And so we really need parents to be involved in what's happening on their kids' phones.
Bringing up social media, that's a great way to put it, because the older generation might think, well, and this is my assumption, is that, well, bullying, a lot of that happened in school, and then I would go home, and home is, you know, perceived to be a safe place, and then I don't have to deal with it again until I go back to school. But now with social media, and everyone's connected 24/7, while that can be a really great thing, it also means that bullying could continue on all day and night, every single day. There is not really a safe place if you're active on social media and you have yourself out there all the time.
We've always heard that kids, the parents often take the kids' phones away when that occurs, and that that is not good advice because kids won't tell you if they think you'll take that device away from them. And with social media, too, all these apps where they can pass along that cruelty in an anonymous way, there's so many apps now that parents can't access from their kids' phones. So that conversation is so important, not only what people are saying to you, but what you're saying about others.
Well, you had an event last year, and I believe it was the first, like the inaugural event for the Kindness Color Walk in Paducah. Is this an event you're doing again this year?
Yes, we're planning to do it every year, actually.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be Saturday, August 6th. It was August 8th last year. The goal is to start it at the beginning of the school year so that it isn't about us just telling kids to be nice, but it's about all of us committing to be nice, teachers, parents, ministers, coaches, business community, and that's what we saw, police officers, everyone coming together saying, you know what, we're going to start the school year off on a positive note, and we're all committing to being kind.
It sounds like you had a great turnout last year. What are some of the things that you heard at the Color Walk?
I think it's really a great thing because, you know, it's not focused on bullying, it's focused on kindness, and people are thinking, oh, I mean, I never really thought about this, just being kind.
The power of kindness.
The power of kindness.
We had a kindness wall where people could just put nice, positive love messages up, and we hope to grow that this year, but that was a wonderful. We kept all of those.
Well, Susan and Morgan Guest, thank you so much for coming by the station.
Thank you for having
us today.